But the Bible teaches us that what this is, when we take the bread and we give thanks for it, and then we take it and eat it, when we take the cup and we give thanks for it and we take it and eat it, the Bible talks about this whole thing, and we do it in remembrance of Him, but it also says, the Bible says, that we do it proclaiming who He is, what He's done, and proclaiming His return. I think of that first night when Jesus gathered around with the disciples in the upper room. They were finishing the Passover feast. They were going through the entire ritual, the whole thing. And it was a solemn moment, and because of what it meant from the past for them. And it was a solemn moment because they were there with Jesus, and they were anticipating great things from Jesus. And I think they missed, as we study the Scriptures, they missed a lot of what was being said. But as years went on and they sat down and they broke bread like Christ did that night, and they took the cup like Christ did that night, and they remembered His words in that upper room, and they remembered what happened after those words and the events that led up to His arrest and His betrayal and His crucifixion and His burial and finally His resurrection and His ascension, it was an exciting time. I mean, I remember as a child growing up and getting to go to Christmas dinners at Grandma Youngberg's. Great Grandma Youngberg's was the first place we did this. All Swedes. Every single person around the table except for my mom and me and my sister were 100% Swedes. My mom ruined it. She brought in something different. So I think I'm 99% Swede because I only got a little bit of my mom in me, right, Wendy? Thank you. I think. We would sit at that table, and there were generations, great aunts, great grandparents, and some of them still spoke in Sweden. Now, I was a little tiny baby. All I can do is try and put memories together with old black and white silent films and pictures and stuff, and then what people tell me. But as I grew older, I remember sitting around that table and hearing the stories of what it was like when the Swedes came and they started to settle, what my great-grandfather and my grandfather owned as a plumbing business, and the stories of how they put the first in-house plumbing in homes on their neighborhood. And just you hear the stories, and it's exciting to go. And then this week, my dad sent me an email about my mom's dad and how he served in World War II, how I had no clue. I knew he served in World War II, but I didn't know he was on the invasion force for Japan and was this close. I mean, they were on the boats, and my dad's laying this whole thing out and sending me articles, and I'm reading about it, and I'm like in awe of my grandpa. And then that puts some memories in my head of different times around families and enjoying all this time together. So as I'm thinking of the Lord's Supper tonight, and I'm, you know, it's a solemn moment because of what Christ had done. But when we look at the teaching, it ought to be an exciting moment. Because all of us in this room, and you said it tonight tons and tons of times in your scripture things around here tonight, we don't deserve what God has given us. I mean, none of us in this room can, as I think Rhonda's the one who said it, trust in the Lord. Shannon talked about searching in Proverbs 2:1. He calls us brothers, Hebrew. Nothing we do can earn that. And then even when He calls us brothers, what happens? We try to do a good work, go pick up a sister in Christ, she doesn't show up, da-da-da-da-da, we grumble, we gripe, we complain, we moan, whatever. Even in our midst of being who we are in Christ, we still, and yet we have the opportunity tonight to remember the broken body of Christ, the shed blood of Christ, and the life that we now have in Christ. And it ought to be an exciting thing. So what I want to hear tonight, in the body of Christ, that's who we are tonight. What is it, honestly, that we can rejoice about that Christ has done? For listen, in Mark chapter 14, it says that as they were eating, okay, they were going through the meal. And there were several processes. We've been here tonight. We've kind of gone through the process of our typical Sunday night. So as we're gathered together, Jesus takes the bread. And the Bible says that He blessed it. Okay, now that word there for blessed, it's that giving thanks, but the word for blessed means make good. He took the bread, ordinary bread, And he made it good. Now, look around. There's no mirrors. I thought maybe I should put a mirror in front of him. We're ordinary, right? There's nobody extraordinary in here on our own. None of us. We all come with our own, bland lives. We all come with our deflated lives. Unleavened bread, doesn't rise. It just kind of, you look at these crackers, I won't tell you the expiration date on them before you eat them. We'll see how many die. We are just these things, and yet Christ comes and he says, listen, you are bland, but let me tell you how I want to do awesome things in your life. I would love to look at you and tell you what I've seen Christ do in your life. But I like to hear it from you more. Because sometimes I just get the superficial thing. So what is it in you ordinary people that Christ has done as he has taken your life and blessed it? Anybody? Thank you. I was just going to leave the crackers up here.
Besides all the times that he has saved me from death, danger, throughout my life, throughout my rebellious years, throughout my drug abusing years, my running away from home, sleeping in dumpsters, you name it. If you ever want to ask me about my testimony, I'll give it to you. The last year, I could say that I have actually seen God just cut away the sin in my life. He has showed it to me and has forgiven me for it, pointed it out to me, and still loves me. And I repent, and sometimes I go back to that sin, but he has continued to forgive me and love me and care for me.
Before this supper thing that we're seeing in Mark chapter 14, Jesus, remember what he told his disciples to go in and go? He said, go prepare it. Nowhere do we find that he went to the special bread market. He just said, go get the stuff. And they went, and most of these disciples were just ordinary guys, and they weren't super rich, so they didn't go and get the... They just went and got the ordinary bread that it took and brought it to the table. We are ordinary people. I remember when you came to this church, this is the bread of Christ. Ordinary that he's blessed. I remember when she came to this church to do a job. Richard, her husband, said, you're going to get to meet my wife. I'm like, okay.
Now you know I'm the better half.
Yes. This woman and two other guys, Stacy and
James,
were working out there fixing what Shannon and others and I messed up. And I remember walking out there and you had those two men and there was a crooked wall together or whatever, that, and you just went like this, nail it. And I went, note to self, don't mess with Jody. We dedicated, when we broke ground 2017 years ago, it feels like it, we dedicated every board, ordinary screw, to the kingdom. And we've seen it happen. Just ordinary bread. Jesus took ordinary, anybody else? Jesus took ordinary bread, as I pass this out, and blessed it. How has he blessed you?
He blesses me every day. I thank him for knowing me as Lord and Savior because there's that peace there that he's there for me and walks with me. You probably get tired of hearing me say this, but I don't know what I'd do without the Lord to lead me every day. He strengthens me physically, spiritually, and gives me enough wisdom to keep alive and keep going. But truly, I couldn't get along without him.
How old are you, Margaret? I know it's a rude question to ask a woman.
93.
Okay, 93. Are you stale?
Stale?
You are not stale bread, are you?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, come on. Is Margaret stale bread?
Moldy.
No,
she's brave.
No, the point is that we are never too old to be refreshed by the blessing of Christ. Sometimes I think we focus so much on he took the bread and the bread is his body, but he blessed this bread. And we look at our own lives sometimes and we forget that God looks at us as, yeah, this ordinary. But God looks at us and goes, no, I've taken that which is ordinary and I've made it extraordinary. There's no mold on Margaret.
I think it's real hard for me to put into words. He'll bring out things in me that I didn't know were in me, where he's shown his faithfulness and he shows my faithfulness to him, because I don't go back to the old things. I say, well, I'm going through a rough patch. God help me. I mean, there was a point when I said, God, you might as well just kill me, because I'm not doing the things for you that I should. And he told me and he showed me. And he showed me how he has changed me and increased my faith in him. To where ultimately, when I get done ranting and raving, I leave it in his hands. And he tells me, just rest and know that I am God. And I said, okay. And then he says, take rest and know that I am your God.
Mm.
And he just overwhelms me. And I can't explain it. I broke down and I kind of said, God, I don't want happiness. I want your joy. I want to know the fullness of you. And he said, well, you will. But, you know, it takes a while to get there. And I think, well, but Lord, I walk around all day and I see all these people and they're all going to hell and I'm not doing anything about it. I'm praying for them. I'm asking for the Spirit to touch that place and have people come to me. But I can't put it into words. He just says, it's okay. That time is coming. It's not your will. It's mine. It's my timing. It will be worked out.
You mean you're not God?
No, I know I'm not God. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame God for what I do and what I don't do. But sometimes he gives me simple commands and I don't do that. But in my heart, that's what I want to do. I want to follow him. You know, I start thinking about it, and I get terrified thinking about where I was. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather die than go back there. At least I'm here. You know, where I am. I can't put it into words. I don't know how to explain it. But
what you're describing is one of those guys around that table that night. His name was Peter.
Now, I don't want to do that because I'm not there.
He doesn't take compliments, does he?
I just, because anything that is in me that is worthwhile is not me.
That's right.
And I can't claim responsibility for it. I have not changed me.
You just preached the gospel.
So
that you are not alone.
That's right.
Yeah, I know that. I realize that. I read this word, and there were a bunch of doofuses in here. You know,
he just called you a doofus.
You know, I mean, God gave them everything, and they just turned away from it. For Samuel, I've been studying Samuel. The ark gets taken away from them. They misused it, first of all. The ark gets taken away by the Philistines, and they don't do nothing about it. They don't go to get it. They don't stand up for God.
And when it comes back, yeah, they go, don't bring it here.
It's just something for 20 years. And, you know, and the Philistines showed more godliness because they knew it was wrong. They didn't try to put their God up against the Hebrew God because they knew that was the God. They got tumors. They made the mice,
mm-hmm.
and gave a penance for it. For doing the wrong thing. And then the Hebrews get it back and it just sits somewhere between. It just doesn't make any sense. But then that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to do that.
But we all do that.
Yes. And what is God's response every time we do that?
Mm-hmm. He says, repent.
Yes. I do.
And let's go again.
And let's go again. Even the last chapter of the Bible. Now I know, you know, Dale, before we, and they, listen, this is why Christ took the bread. He looked at doofuses. This is why Christ took that bread that night. And he broke it. He blessed it. He said, this is ordinary bread, but I'm blessing it. I'm taking that which is absolutely ordinary and just simple flat bread. And I'm blessing it. And now I'm giving it to you. You an ordinary flat, okay, doofus in your words. He says, this is my body. This is me, my character, my sacrifice, my love, my grace, my life. And I'm putting it in your hands. Will you take it? When we take this bread, we're not just eating a cracker in remembrance. We're saying, I take what you are giving me, God, which one is forgiveness. Because you're a doofus.
I know, but that's an awesome thing.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
ma'am, sir. And as Rhonda said, I'm giving you, as you take this bread, she said, God says, I'm giving you the promise of the covenant that you made with me through your word. Now, God says, I'm not just giving you the promise that we made a covenant. God says, here, I'm giving you the promise that when I put you to the test, you will have my power living in you to complete it. Now, this is just a piece of unleavened, out-of-date bread in your hand. But it is a symbol of what Christ has given to you. And he looked at those disciples and says, you've got it in your hand. Take it and eat it, all of you. And then in the next verse, it says, and likewise, he took the cup. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, shed for the remission of your sins. We don't need a laundry list of everybody's sins. It's not what he's talking about. We would be here a long time. What he's talking about is, my blood has been shed that you would be white. Though your sin is as scarlet, you shall be white. Even in the book of Revelation to the lukewarm church, he says, I want you to buy my white garments. I want you to come to me for righteousness. I don't want you to look at what you can or cannot do for your righteousness. I don't want you to look at what where you fail or where you succeed in order for your ability to think that you are in good standing. I want you to look at me and me alone, he says. There are people in this room who have struggled greatly, and I'm not asking you to give your laundry list. But how has Christ's redeeming, washing blood affected and changed you?
I wasn't the only young man who was involved in that, but I'm the only one that God has given a family to. There's not a single one that's ever had a wife.
Others. Others. And there he was, Tim, preaching his grandma's memorial service. God is gracious and merciful. Others. Jody spoke of Song of Solomon 1:13 in the sachet, and the first thing that popped into my mind, and I have no idea if this is what really you call a sachet, but one of them little perfumey sacks you put in your drawer so things don't stink. And that's the first thing I put on here is the aroma of Christ has to start right here. And when you're talking about the heart, we can put on perfume and deodorant on the outside and make ourselves smell pretty good. But it is only by the blood of Christ that we are the aroma of Christ. That's awesome. There's nothing that covers that stink but the blood of Christ. Isn't that awesome? Dr. Beth. Nice to know that he never sleeps, so that while we are, he can be imprinting that word on us. Wayne. You are.
My wife was worried every time, and I just kept telling her, I'm in God's hands now. I wasn't worried about it.
We might not know the level of blessing, but we have sure experienced the awesome miracle that is David Wayne Pettit in the hands of God. When mourning turns to shouts or songs of joy, is that how the song goes? It's awesome.
It's amazing how people that don't know Christ think of tragedy or, you know, incidents like that as being, oh, how terrible. You know, people, when I mention Seth is autistic, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, oh, that's
it's an
autism.
Yeah. Seth.
That's why I'm thankful for letting me be the man I am today. I never grew up with a father figure, but when I look back and learn what my father did, I'm so thankful I'm not like him. I don't hate my father, but I wish he wouldn't have done the stuff he did, but it doesn't stop me from praying for him.
Autism, such a blessing. Till we die. Any others?
I would say people found it odd that I smiled and was happy when I lost my parents. But I knew that was better off than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jenny passed, I had the same peace that she was better off than nobody were. You know, Paul said he'd rather die and go to heaven, but God wasn't done with it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Always did wrong. God loved him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul kept running, you know. There's I can't think of the name of the group, but it says in the song, it says they're going to get up, hit the feet, run. And that's the perspective I see is for God. We're going to fall. We're going to mess up big time. But if we hit our feet, hit the road running, when we get up, he's going to take care of us.
His hand is always there to pick us up when we're sinking. Any others? pretty awesome song of praise. So Jesus took the cup. He gave thanks for it. He gave thanks for his sacrifice. He gave it to them, and they drank all from it. The blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Tradition says in Mark 14:26 that when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me." He warned them. He said, "Listen, you're going to go out there and trying times are going to come. You're going to want to stand, but you're probably going to fall." He went on. "Because of me, you will stumble, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Old Peter said, "Oh, Jesus, even if all are made to stumble, I will not." And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Assuredly, I say to you today that even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." Peter, speaking vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. As we go from this place tonight, we do not go out as pre-crucified, pre-dead, pre-resurrected Jesus Christians. We go out as fully equipped, resurrected Christ Christians. But we go out with the same warning. When you leave here tonight, you will be faced with trials. You will face an enemy who wants to trample over you and scatter you. You will face times of trying your faith, discouragement, and distress. But we can take courage and confidence and hope in the words of Jesus. "Be of good courage. I've overcome the world." And then he showed him, when he stepped out of that grave, what overcoming the world looks like. Father, help us. Help us to understand that, Lord, we are people in Christ, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. That we are people in Christ who have been given the fullness of your Spirit. So, Father, when we go out into this world, and when we are tempted, and when we are tried, and when we are persecuted, you are right there. For you live in us. The body that was broken has been resurrected. And Father, that which was dead has been made alive. That which stunk now walks in a beautiful aroma. Lead us, Father, to be that aroma in our world tonight, tomorrow, and until you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Get. Skedaddle. Run like a fatted calf.